With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to episode 412 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Did you catch the episode 411? You said you were listening on the beach when you were away. Did you listen to episode 411 with Thomas?
Which one's 411?
Thomas and Derek.
I did, yes.
What'd you think?
A little bit boring, but, you know, it's all right. Big shoes to fill, though. You know, like, I get where Roisey and Vanner are at. They tried their best, but obviously came up a little short.
Honestly, one of the best episodes I think we've ever done here at After the Whistle.
Good one.
Anyway.
No, they're good. It's good. It's always like, it's always nice to hear, you know, players like Vanner and Derek get on a podcast, guys that have played together at the highest level, guys that were, you know, number one center, number one right winger, goal scorer, point producer. These guys had a big responsibility. They were great at what they did. You know, big part of our team when we played.
They talked about, well, obviously you heard it, but we talked about Tage breaking out of a slump, right? Or, you know, gripping the stick too. And you could see it in last night's game. And we'll talk about last night's game in a little bit, because there's a lot more to talk about. I was just wondering if you heard episode 411, because I thought, you know, the boys kind of, boys razz you a little bit. So I didn't know if you had anything you wanted to say.
What do you mean they razz me? I don't remember hearing anything that I haven't heard a thousand times from either Derek or Vanner in the dressing room. You think that's going to phase me now that I'm old, now that I'm away from the game? It's the same thing. You know, talking to these guys, whether you talk to Derek Roy or Vanek, and every time we have Vanner on throughout the week, there's ball busting literally constantly. It is it's almost like part of the job description. You need to have thick skin. And if
the text
you don't,
messages
you're
going to
have a real hard time.
The text messages are the best, and Vanner's the silent assassin. Now, listen, we're going to get to maybe see all these guys coming up. And I don't know if everybody knows this, but the Ryan Miller event's coming back. Did you know this? The catwalk for charity? I'm pretty sure you got the invite, just not sure if you opened it.
Yeah, I got the invite.
Something amazing happened last night. I think it was amazing, and I'm not trying to build it up more than it is, because it's talked about in a broad spectrum here in the NHL or in the hockey world. And that was Pat Kane's return last night to Chicago. Now, these are games where players come back and you're kind of like, you know, he's playing against his old team. Guy played 5 years there. Guy played 6 years there. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, this is almost Gretzky returning to the Oilers like, okay? That's the caliber of player in his time that he was. He was a upper echelon for those that are born in the 80s or before, that remember what Gretzky and those players were doing. Well, that's what Pat Kane is, a Steve Yzerman to his organization. He is a Sidney Crosby. I think you understand what I'm saying. So these kinds of returns are always highly anticipated, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And fittingly, Chris Chelios' jersey being retired. One of the classiest guys I think I've ever met in hockey. I got a chance to meet him through the NHLPA workings and stuff like that. But unbelievable ceremony. Very classy speech. He references Pat Kane. He references the fact that, you know, he will go down as the greatest American-born player of all time, which I thought was interesting because Austin Matthews in Toronto, I'm sure, is probably looking for that title as well.
It's just so amazing to see a guy that played so long with such stature of Chris Chelios basically mention Patrick Kane is going to go down as the greatest American-born hockey player ever to play this game. I thought that was pretty special. And, you know, what does Patrick Kane do? He does special things. And on this night, which was, I'm sure, deep down in his heart, pretty emotional moment going back to Chicago. And he doesn't
He talked about it. He talked about it. He talked about returning, dressing in the other dressing room. He talked about all of that stuff. I mean, you lived that. I lived it on a different kind of a spectrum. I mean, I didn't play when I came back to Buffalo for the 1 year that I was in the league after I left. But coming back and dressing in the other dressing room and going out for pregame skate and warm up and all that stuff on the other side, flying in as a visitor, busing into the hotel. I mean, it's just a weird feeling. I mean, it's just not what you're used to, right? So he talked about all that stuff, getting dressed on the other side, and but it's not even that too. It's was Chelios' celebration overshadowing the fact that Pat Kane was back in the building, or was Pat Kane coming back overshadowing, you know, the Chelios celebration? You know what I mean? Then all I'm thinking last night as I'm watching this, and then he scores that goal, is it's been nice to see him mature, show that people can change.
Is he changing or is he growing? Is he just maturing?
People can grow and people can mature, and that people make mistakes.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying about that, because I think there are a lot of people that probably root against the guy, and I was one of them for a long time. But then I looked myself in the mirror and I'm thinking, fuck, man, like there's a lot of dumb shit that I did that I needed to fix. It's been pretty cool to watch him grow.
Well, a leader through experience, right? He's obviously one of the most talented players back when he came into the league in 2007, 2008. He did incredible things as a young hockey player. And, you know, obviously, you know, Patrick Kane, from his entry level deal, moving into, you know, all the success that he had at a very early age, you know, money comes with that. And when you're 21 years old and you're making, you know, millions and millions and millions of dollars, I think sometimes, you know, it can be overwhelming for a lot of players, a lot of young players.
And well, there's fame that comes along with that. There's a lot of praise.
Right.
There's a lot of admiration. I mean, it's a lot to handle.
There's a lot to handle. And it really is tough, I think, for a lot of these younger players that make such significant amounts of money. And sometimes you can make some bad decisions, things that you would regret. But the point in this life is you learn from these mistakes, you learn from these things, you grow from them, you mature, and you look at the player and the person that Patrick Kane is now. He's a very different man than what he was in his early 20s. And he's gained so much. He's learned so much in the game. I'm sure that there's younger players on Detroit that are going to use him as a sponge. They're going to take in everything that you could possibly take in from such an elite player and guy like Patrick Kane. And it's important to be around players like that, because just watching, just being a watcher of what he does every single day, whether what he's eating at dinner to when he eats and how he treats his body and all these types of things. These are important things for younger players to be able to watch from older guys. So,
oh, a lot of wisdom in there. Changing topics, you know where there's a lot of wisdom? You get in a car crash, don't be stupid. You call Celino Law, you call 888-888-8888. Don't make any mistakes. Their effort doesn't get questioned. They're there to work hard for you every single day, every single shift. They're going to do whatever it takes to get you the most for your accident and your injuries. So if you've been hurt, you know who to call. Call the Yates, Celino Law, 888-888-8888.
Just fire away. Tell me your
Chris
Drury. Why? What's he done? Pretty solid season for the Rangers. Did you feel that they were that good?
Yeah, I didn't. I felt they were that good. I felt like they were a team to beat this year.
Do you think Peter Laviolette taking over this team, was obviously he's the right man for the job. He's doing a great job, with this hockey team.
He was a stabilizer.
Stabilizer.
But you also added Michael Pekka. Added Phil Housley.
Yep.
You brought in some key pieces. You have veteran players. And then recently, just recently, they've added a new style of player that we've never seen before. A 6'8", 240-pound, young, hungry, tough guy.
He's certainly been on fire right now. His name's Matt Rempe. 6'7", 6'8", 241 pounds. He's a 21-year-old hockey player from Calgary, Alberta. Drafted in the sixth round.
He gets tossed in the lineup in the outdoor game. Fights Matt Martin.
First shift.
Yep. Fights Nick DeLaurier.
The toughest guy in the league.
Arguably the toughest guy in the league. Now this kid has the analytics crowd who is against fighting talking about this guy. I'm not even joking. I'm not just picking on the analytics crowd, but I have watched people absolutely destroy fighting, and then now they're tweeting about how great these fights are. Make up your fucking mind. Okay? Now he fights Olivier last night, and he gets buckled. He gets beat pretty good, man. I mean, is someone gonna throw?
I don't know if he. I don't know if he got beat pretty good. It's like two great big massive men. Like I didn't realize how tough Olivier. I didn't realize how tough he was. It played for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Tough as nails, threw absolute bombs. And when you're fighting this style, guys are just counting on each other, and someone's going to take the brunt of it. And it just so happened that Olivier got the better of
Olivier.
Rempe.
6'1", 222.
Yeah. Big men.
You know what happened in this fight? You know why the Olivier was able to get the better of Rempe? Watch the fight, Rempe's hold is absolutely brutal. He overholds the right shoulder.
Yes. Yep. I know exactly what
overholds the right shoulder. He should have grabbed that guy right in the middle under his chin, right in the middle of his shirt, crumpled that thing up and just held him out and just beat the fucking wheels off of him. He got too excited. Like once you have a bad hold, you got to try to reset it. You can't try to just fight through it. You got to try to reset it.
But that's also going to come with experience, right, Edie? It's like I think once you get into a situation, you got Matt Rempe, who's a very big man for the Rangers. He's played 5 games. He's got a goal, two points, plus 2, 32 penalty minutes. He has basically single-handedly brought a massive set of balls to all these players on the team. And he's only going to get more dangerous as he gets older. He's only 21 years old. He's just a baby in this league. What's going to happen in 3, 4, 5 years from now when he gets bigger, thicker, stronger, more man strength? He is going to be a very, very, very dangerous player to play against because he can also skate. And that's important too when you're looking at these types of players in today's game. Have to be ready to skate.
How many players in the league are watching this and saying shit? Because there aren't many guys like me anymore where teams had one or two guys on every team,
yep,
right? So there's probably, 8 or 9 guys that can actually really go with this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Would you say 8 or 9? And I have to throw Brady Tkachuk in there.
Yeah, probably 8 to 12. But here's the thing. Once you start to see a few of these guys in the league come in, there will be a small, I don't think it'll ever go back to the old days, but you will start to see teams have to go out and find players like this.
Okay.
Everyone's going to have a player. You can't have a player like this that can't play the game. These players can play. Okay. He's on this team to add speed and physicality first and foremost and use that big body frame.
And you know who just became more valuable to the Leafs?
Ryan Reeves. Absolutely.
I don't care what you say. The Leafs might have been trying to get rid of him, or everybody might have been unhappy with him, but this is the guy that you're going to want to keep if they end up playing each other in the playoffs.
Very much.
And you know what else I've noticed too? And I don't need a statistic to back this up. And if somebody wants to correct me on this, if you had to say with certainty, yes or no, that there have been more fights this year than probably every year in the last 4 or 5 years, would you say yes?
I would say that there's more fights, yes.
I feel like even there was one in the Winnipeg game last night. Lowry fought. There's fights all the time right now, it feels like. Not every game. But I feel like every single night, like I'm watching another one right here, Nashville-Anaheim. Carrick and Lauzon. Liaison. Oh, what's his name? You're the name butcher here.
I think you got it, but I get what you're saying. There seems to be more fights. It's a big draw. Like I said, you want to watch great hockey? Go and watch Florida. Go and watch Florida. They score a ton of goals. They're nasty as all hell. They stick together as a team. It's constant junkyard dog with skill.
This has to be some kind of a message to the league by Chris Drury. I mean, he introduces this kid to the hockey world at the outdoor game against the Islanders. I mean, is there a bigger stage for the Rangers in the middle of a season than that?
Yeah.
My question is, I wonder what the league is going to do about this.
What do you mean?
Have we not seen a call for less fighting? These aren't spontaneous fights. That Matt Martin fight wasn't spontaneous. That Olivier fight was set up. That Delorier fight was premeditated.
Yeah.
I thought we were trying to get rid of this shit.
What was it, staged?
Was it staged? This kid being in the lineup is staged. Don't get me wrong. Don't mistake what I'm saying. I love the idea of this. I believe this has an impact. In fact, I believe Olivier winning that fight had an impact on Columbus breaking the Rangers' winning streak.
Yeah, 100% correct.
Like when you see your big tough guy go down and get buckled, it's like, oh fuck, your stomach sinks. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, I've been dropped. I've been dropped and had teammates say, man, my stomach sank when I saw you get buckled there. You know, like I watched guys get buckled, my own teammates that did what I did, because we always had multiple guys. They get buckled and you're just kind of like, oh my God, that sinks your team, Riv. That sinks your team big time. Here they are riding high on the back of the 6'8" super heavyweight. And then he gets buckled and bleeding and you know, and here he are and they lose the game.
Yes and no. They won 10 games. The Rangers won 10 games. They have the elite offensive talent. Then when you look at their back end, they have the back end. They have an outstanding defense core. Why do you think Chris Drury brought in Matt Rempe? Because it was the last piece to making a full lineup where all the boxes are checks. Now, I don't think the Rangers are done when it comes to trades, because I think that this team is going for it this year. They're going for the cup because they have all the pieces that they need. Because I think the Rangers right now feel that their window of opportunity to win the Stanley Cup is open, and I think they're going to go after it. Looking for a night out? Maybe go watch a game at a bar. Maybe even have a nice fancy dinner. Who knows? I might even get crazy and play some bets while I'm at it. And there's only one place to do all that. Only at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. You can hit up Stick Sports Bar and Grill, grab an unbelievable steak at the Western Door, gamble at the casino, or even play some bets at the sportsbook. All in one location at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Sabres have won three in a row, four out of the last five.
It's a big win against Carolina. It's a good hockey team.
Well, that win yesterday puts them at 500. Playoffs?
What?
I mean, is it doable?
What are we talking about? Let's move on that conversation and just talk about how they've won three in a row. And let's just praise.
Well, what else would the motivation be? Let's be honest. I'm not trying to be an asshole here. They have Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who we're going to talk about. Have they found their number one goalie? And what else would they be trying to win for? They look like an inspired hockey team. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're playing for the guy in net, to be honest with you. It looks like they're taking more pride in the defensive zone. I think Jeff Skinner's looked pretty good.
In certain areas, yeah.
In certain areas, okay, fine. But let's start with that. He's back in the offensive ways. That's what the team needs most from him, first and foremost, is for him to produce in the one area that we know he can, and that's offensively.
That's right. Big goal he scored in last night's game. Like, these are the things, like, in order for the Buffalo Sabres to win hockey games, and when you're given the, I talk about the cookie, when you're given the power play, that special time, we need guys to perform. And Jeff Skinner has to perform offensively because that's what he's paid to do. That's what he does well.
So
and
tell
he
me.
He got a huge goal last night, which is massive.
Tell me. Two games in hand on Tampa Bay. That's the team you're chasing. You can't worry about anybody else. You have to worry about what you can control. So you have games in hand on a couple of these teams. Not really, actually, just Tampa Bay. That Tampa Bay is probably realistically the wild card number two team. I don't see anything changing there. So you have New Jersey, Washington, Pittsburgh, Islanders, and Buffalo all chasing for that second wild card spot. Detroit's going to make it. They're playing really good hockey right now, and they might even finish in the top three of the division. What are they? Tell me what their motivation is then, if it's not the playoffs, just to hang a banner for strong finish again. I don't think so, Craig.
I will say this: like, if you're in the dressing room right now of the Sabres, you know that everything is about taking care of business one game at a time. Do not overlook any other game. Do not look 5-10 games down the line. Look at the game that's ahead of you. And you just have to win that game because you're in a position where you can't lose games. Now, I don't think they're sitting in that dressing room thinking that they're out. I'm sitting at home telling you that they're out.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. So I just flipped through to March and it doesn't look good.
Listen, don't worry about the teams that they play. Just worry about the game that's in front of you. Like, they just played the Carolina Hurricanes, who is a very, very good hockey team. And they ended up beating them. Their record right now is 34-18-6.
Yeah, Brendan Moore was pissed about that loss last night. That's not a loss that the Carolina Hurricanes want to have.
Well, he's a feisty, feisty, feisty coach. He coaches like he played. He does not like losing. And I thought the Sabres played very well. There's opportunities for them to score, you know, multiple goals. Like, Tage Thompson had an opportunity to win the game. Jeff Skinner at the end of the game was left alone in front of the net.
When Tage gets back to form, that game is 5-2. That game doesn't even go to overtime.
Yeah. And listen, Tage is getting opportunities, which I think for a goal scorer, for a guy who's a point producer, that is very, very important. Tage, I'm sure, is angry as all friggin' hell right now because he's not producing points, but he's getting the opportunities. And those opportunities, if he sticks with it, are going to come. He looks a little tight. He looks like he's really, I'm not saying he's trying to force things, but you look at the situation last night where he got fed a puck on the right-hand side and he took it to the net. And I know the goaltender made a really nice little kind of little poke check on Tage, but Tage, when he's confident, like really in the zone, that puck would have been in.
He rips it. And here's the other thing too. There was another play where he went wide and he probably could have tried to blast it over the goalie's glove, either glove. And he went around the net. Do you remember this?
I do. Yep.
He tried to take it around the net. And I'm just thinking like, man, I wonder like, if it was last year, does he shoot that puck? I think he probably, or he tries to go in on the deke. We're identifying that the chances are still there. And that's when you don't have to worry because they snap out of it. But beating Carolina last night, I think is huge going, because now you go to Florida and then you have Tampa Bay. You have to split the weekend. It's not the weekend, but you know what I mean? You have to split the two games there. Got to take one of them. Florida's going to be tough. You got to eye that Tampa Bay game because that's who you're chasing in the standings, right? Like that's your must win.
That's the four point game, as we call it. 2 points that you can get and 2 points the other team does not get. So 4 point game, massive game against Tampa Bay. You know, Florida. Listen, I mean, Florida's humming right now, but. I've said this all year. I don't think the Sabres have played well or up to expectations. I think the style of play, if they play the right way, can beat any team in the National Hockey League. No questions. They've shown it all year. They've beaten the very best in this league. They've beaten the Torontos, the Bostons. They've beaten the Rangers. They've beaten Vegas Golden Knights. Like, they've beaten Dallas. They've beaten the best teams. Colorado Avalanche, LA Kings, they've beaten the best. Now, it's about trying to find consistency in your game. You need to be able to play the same robotic, energized game each and every night. And the best teams in the league, there's a very fine line between winning and losing in the NHL. A very fine line. And right now, you're hoping that the Sabres can mature enough as a team to understand that playing a system and playing it to a T will create more offense, which will create less defending, which will create less goals against, which gives your team a chance to win more hockey games. And
well,
they've
I asked you the question about playoffs at the start of this segment, and I know you kind of laughed at me. But, I mean, they have to find a realistic motivation. It can't be for contracts anymore. Paterka can't be playing for his cookie and his contract. You can't have these guys doing that.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's playing for.
Well, okay, well, but you know what?
He's playing for his contract, and he's playing for his cookie. Like, we have 5 minutes. I don't know if you caught this. But we had 5 minutes yesterday of overtime. Do you remember how many times JJ Paterka was on the ice?
That's zero. I don't think he was on. Yeah.
Zero times. JJ Paterka is our leading fucking scorer on the team. He is fast as shit. He is strong on pucks. Explain to me why he does not get an opportunity on this team to play in overtime, which is probably where he is going to benefit the most.
You think it's contract?
I don't think it's contract. I don't think it's contract. I feel that they probably went with, you know, they started with Casey Mittelstadt and Cousins. They came back with Tuck and Thompson. Then they came back with Skinner. And I can't even remember who the other person was.
Cousins, maybe.
I don't know who went with Skinner on that third pair jump, but for me, JJ Paterka is an insanely talented hockey player. He's leading our team in goals, and we don't have him on 3-on-3. Which again, I'm not going to sit there and say that they're doing something wrong. Not saying that at all. I'm just saying that we have a player like JJ Paterka, and you're the one is what are these players playing for? What is Casey Mittelstadt playing for, Petey? What do you think he's playing for? Go ahead and say it.
I mean,
exactly
I'll tell you
what he's playing for.
Okay. I'll tell you what, they make the playoffs. He gets paid more probably.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think that has any bearing if he makes the playoffs with the Buffalo Sabres or not. I think Casey's going to get paid whether he plays in the playoffs or doesn't. And he's playing right now for wins. He's playing for points. He's playing to obviously, you know, help this team win more hockey games. But at the end of the day, we don't know where Casey's gonna fit in. We don't know Kevin Adams' mindset of what he wants to do with Casey. But I'll tell you this, Casey's 25 years old. I said this the other day. He's 25 years old. The best years of Casey's career are going to come in the next 5 years.
Okay, so why isn't Paterka out there?
That's a good question. You only have enough meat to feed the lion cage, right? And you got to feed your big boys. Casey Mittelstadt, Alex Tuck, Jeff Skinner, Tage Thompson. Guys like that are going to be out there. Dylan Cousins. But I'll say this. JJ Paterka is insanely skilled. He has shown this year that he's going to be an offensive threat as he moves forward. He's still young. Like, I mean, he's a kid and learning and getting better. And what we're seeing right now from JJ Paterka, I think he's going to be better in 3 years from now. I think he's going to be that much better, that much stronger, that much better as a player in general. And on a three on three, I would think that JJ Paterka would be a guy that you would want to have on the ice. But again, these are decisions that I don't make. I don't get to see JJ Paterka in practice and all the little things. It's just, I get the eye test of what I get to see throughout games. And he's a pretty dynamic, beautiful skater, lots of talent. And he's got a great shot and instinct to score. He's our number one scorer. So it's, why wouldn't he be out on three on three?